Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 599, Science Faction Baby Assassins and Real Life Deadpools.
Yeah, is this part of the Boss Baby franchise, but like the dark action? Like Quentin Tarantino was able to direct one property in the Boss Baby franchise.
What is the Boss Baby franchise?
You're right to not know about it because its concept is ridiculous. And I'd like to say that I only know about it in name only. But basically, Alec Baldwin voices a baby who's somehow a CEO and a baby. Which I don't know what the board of this company was thinking.
That's happened before. It's way more common than you'd think.
I don't know what the plot line is. I don't know how somehow this CEO is... Because even a baby CEO, I don't even know if he's an empathetic character. Wow, that's one cutthroat baby.
Well, I mean, he could be a very benevolent baby CEO.
Like the CEO of Kirkland?
Yeah.
Yeah. That entirely possible.
You might think that a baby might be more likely to be a very empathetic CEO because I'm just going to say this, like political things aside, a baby is probably more likely to lean socialistic based on the fact that like it will die immediately without care from everybody around it.
And everybody knows nobody shares like children. Children are great at sharing and at regulating the base emotions that one would need to run the type of empathetic company that you're describing, Bobby. Anyhow, the point is, Baby Assassin is the action franchise version.
I just like that I turned like statistically 4.5% of the country against babies. They're like, oh, those fucking commie babies. I swear to God. Yeah, he's right. They don't do shit. They don't have to. 100% unemployment among babies. 100%.
Copy. So you're also applying.
You want to know what percentage of babies serve in the military? Zero. They are the least represented demographic of any in the armed services.
Yeah, you see like there's like a general who's like, I know, I take my baby to the recruiting office on the day he was born. I brought in a fake ID, trying to get this baby enlisted. Damn government. Bobby, you're a father. I agree. We should have the freedom to conscript our children into military service at whatever age we deem they're ready. I want a Master Chief, and you got to start that young.
We're going to start a movement of anti-baby, super right-wing people who just have like posters of that scene where Anakin Skywalker massacres the younglings around him.
No, that I believe in the video. Those were Antifa attacking the younglings.
Well, no, they were going to hate babies, so they'll be super excited about any... Well, maybe it'll be the scene of like the alien scene where the alien got into the maternity ward.
No, that was one of those things where, like, clearly it was, like, right-wing people, but on the media, like, listen, it was the Antifa who just knows everything we say and was repeating it, wink, wink.
Dear, and speaking of the Antifa of the show, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy, and with me, as always, is my comedian who I always immediately get to the point of the show with, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing great. Well, I'm sure that is the end of wacky conspiracy theory jokes on this show. We got him out of the way early. Hopefully nothing happens in the next few minutes that brings any sort, or even sort of like wacky conspiracy theory avatar that we use on the show.
And if you guys want to hear more wacky conspiracy theories every week, you can go ahead and check out our Patreon. Search for Robert Timothy on Patreon. Speaking of which, Damian, I think you had a new Patreon to announce.
Hold on, wait, Bobby, my signal seems to be going out again.
Hello, this is Alex Jones again. I've hacked Damien's signal.
Well, hold on, Alex, this is Bobby. You've hacked into Damien. How did you hack into Damien's signal, Alex Jones?
Well, I've been outside of my telephone wire, my Comcast line. I tried shooting at him a bunch, and I couldn't hit him. So now I'm up there with some spikes. I'm holding on to, like a monkey with one hand to one wire, and I'm hacking at it. With a machete on the other hand.
I don't actually usually enjoy you because you promote a lot of like misinformation in general, but I gotta say,
you.
I appreciate the amount of work you've taken to come here today. So what do you have to say?
Oh, man, this is really straight on my upper body and my lower body. This all chili diet's not giving me the power I need. to sustain long-term aerobic exercise. So let me get to the point. I'm here to, I was actually trying to hack into the Joe Rogan podcast. I guess I hacked into this one. My mistake. But hey, while I'm here, I'm going to give you the same pitch. Joe, I know that I know Joe Rogan's going through some trouble right now with Spotify, right? Because a lot of liberal musicians like Neil Young and a lot of other people are taking their music off Spotify because of they can't handle the truth that Joe Rogan. Well, here's the thing. I'm not allowed to have podcasts anymore, right?
Yeah, legally, your right to have podcasts was taken away along with your right to be within like 500 yards of a school building.
Yeah, thanks, Obama. Hey, so what I hear proposed is this. It's like, Joe, I want to get on Spotify, and I'm going to, with your help and you putting in a good word for me. Now, I don't want to hone in on your podcast territory. As a matter of fact, I want to fill that huge gaping hole of music that Spotify just lost. That's right. I want you to help me to sell to Spotify my collection of music that I've been furious recording over the past couple of years. It's called Some Might Call That Music, Volume 1 through 30, where Alex Jones tackles some of the biggest Hollywood songs. Tell you what, I do everything. I do rock, blues, I even cover some of them Selena songs, but what I do is I bleep out all the Spanish words because so there's a censored and uncensored version, and I'm a Texas man, and I just don't believe that children should be exposed to hearing Spanish on the radio until they're old enough for somebody to put it into context for them. So that's what I'm doing. I got all that, all right? But you might not know is that I got some of the best studio musicians around, all right? I got a wrecking crew consisting of most of Ted Nugent's band. But also, here's a big one, and I'm really proud of this one. I was actually to steal him away from one of you Science Faction Patreons. His name is Dylan Johnson. This guy's got a lot of energy. I love him. He's like does that Mighty Mighty Boss Tones dance thing. You can't hear him during the actual record that I'm putting out.
Okay, so let me just make sure that I'm right on what our podcast has decided to do. We're going to take one of our Patreons, one of the people who pay us to do a show, and claim that he has teamed up with Alex Jones to what is it that you're doing?
Well, to be fair,
exactly?
He's kind of dancing for his freedom. I mean, we never said we're kidnapping him, but we got a lot of energy and a lot of guns, and we showed up at his house and told him to dance while shooting at his feet, and we're like, hey, you know, that's pretty good. Hey, I'm going to sing Chumbawamba to this. Hey, keep going, big guy. I like your energy. And then Ted Nugent pulled out his recording equipment, and bam, we got it on the first take.
So if you Science Faction fans would like to have a fake Alex Jones threaten your family and life, go ahead and subscribe to our Patreon, looking up Robert Timothy on Patreon.
Well, that's great. Listen, I'm looking for somebody else. I'd love it if a woman could be a Patreon, because I'm looking to do more duets. I did a duet on my third album with Paula Deen. We did a bunch of old Southern battle hymns. Pretty racy. I think Spotify will really appreciate that album.
I don't know why, but I feel like if there was a TV show where Paula Deen and Alex Jones had to share a condo in like downtown Miami, I've never watched a reality show in my life. I would watch the shit out of that show.
I promise you, very, very few. Miss Deen could not resist the sculpted physique of an Alex Jones for very long. We'd be making grits pretty soon. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, man. Oh, that is unfortunate to think about. All right. Thank you.
Hold on, wait. I'm losing my grip. No!
It's interesting how he wasn't strapped in any way or anything. He was just literally holding on to keep from falling off of that telephone pole.
Oh, my back.
What? How could you possibly have climbed a telephone pole after falling off a telephone pole? How could you have done that so quickly?
Call the police. Call the fire department. Oh, even though I am some sort of wacky Looney Tunes character who's practically immortal, I can assure you I'm in terrible pain.
And I have the connection's back.
Oh, good.
Let me guess. Good. Somebody hacked. Alex Jones hacked in again.
Again. Once again. Yes, he did.
Well, hopefully our Patreon was satisfied with that insanity.
Yeah, it's a shame we didn't get a chance that you were going to congratulate our Patreon. It's a shame you didn't get a chance to do that. Well, I guess we'll just do it some other time.
Yeah, I was going to do it as I was actually going to do a Richard Dawkins impersonation, but now that's gone.
Ooh, fair enough. All right, let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
I was going to do a Jordan Peterson impersonation.
Article number one, RSV, the secret baby assassin.
RSV, the secret baby assassin. So is this, okay, so I'm guessing this is a virus. Now, is this, again, is this a virus that babies carry on them that kill adults? Or is this a virus that I carry that could potentially kill a baby? Is this like a parvo for babies?
Yeah, so like the kid sucks out a pacifier and then throws it like a throwing star at you. And if it catches you in the eye, nose, or mouth, you're dead.
It's, you know, just because you haven't seen it on an episode of ER doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
I did see that on ER.
That was Clooney's last episode.
So what is RSV and what do we know about it? Respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, is pretty common. It causes basically cold-like symptoms in most of us. But for really little kids, especially infants in low-income countries, it can be a death sentence. Now, I had some experience with this. My son had RSV for a while and had trouble breathing. We had to take him to the hospital at some point. When they're really, really young, it can close up their airways. Little kids have small airways to begin with, so it doesn't take much to close it up. And so in those cases, that virus, it's kind of like reverse COVID. It's like super deadly to very, 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 very young, and it doesn't do much to the rest of us.
We talked about this a while ago about how there's therapies where you can actually get oxygen through the rear end, like just like taking a temperature.
That's not a therapy yet. It was a proof of concept study to show that there is a possibility that somebody could absorb oxygen through there. They by no means have some kind of therapy for it yet.
Like that's how we take kids' temperature. You know, I just putting one of those small fish bubblers thing, like if a kid's like having trouble, if he's turning a little blue in the ER, that Dr. House would do it. I'll tell you right now, Dr. House would do it.
Well, again, I have a lot of sympathy for this because I went through this in an area where your kid can't breathe and you have to take him to the hospital. And in my case, they could give him like steroids and stuff to open up his lungs. And they were able to, he was just fine. And it's not a big deal. But in other places in third world countries, we don't have access to that. Then it can be a very big deal. And I can't imagine how terrifying it would be to be a parent in one of those places. Well, a study wanted to look at the actual death toll in very young children in third world countries, specifically in sub-Saharan Africa. They looked at 2,286 infant deaths in Zambia over like a two-year span of time in the biggest hospital in this one area. They looked at basically almost every single kid death. So they got a really comprehensive end sample, at least for this demographic. And they looked at it and they found that the percentage of kids killed by RSV in certain areas is way higher than we previously thought. We thought it was like maybe like 3% or something. The RSV study in Zambia found 10% of dead infants under 3 months old had RSV, active RSV infections in their nasal cavity. Doesn't mean they all died directly from it. It could have been a compound thing. There could have been a few things. It's sub-Saharan Africa. There's a lot of different diseases that kids can get. And so it doesn't mean it was the only thing, but it was certainly a contributing factor. And for some kids, it would have been the only thing. That's a huge percentage. 10%. 1 out of 10 kids in a lot of these places are victim to this respiratory virus that is fatal, which is huge. Like a 10% mortality is gigantic.
Is it like the flu that comes, like maybe not the flu, but it's like a something that comes in seasonally? There's a different strain of it every year that goes around the world. Is it something like that?
I mean, yeah, it's a virus. It constantly goes around. It's so much faster than the flu because it really is, for the most of us, it's just like coughs and colds and stuff. And so you don't, it's not something you would stay home for. So it pretty much spreads so quickly that, it's almost ubiquitous. But for little kids, it can be a problem. By the way, I want to comment. This isn't saying that 10% of the kids who got it died. And this isn't saying that like that 10% was mortality rate. What they are saying is 10% of all dead infants were killed by this one thing. Who knows how lethal that actually makes it? But 10% of all deaths in a place, by the way, where I'm just going to be honest, there's a lot more infant deaths in Zambia than there is in like Cleveland. And so like in a place where there is a decent amount of infant deaths, 10% of them come from this one virus, which is huge and shocking and really important to know.
Somebody from Cleveland like, yeah, well, we've lost more Super Bowls in Zambia than all of sub-Saharan Africa combined. More broken hearts. So this is primarily a sub-Saharan African disease. I know you've said it's all over, but is this where the biggest death toll is?
The biggest death toll is going to be anywhere where there's not good access to healthcare. And in this case, these are good representations of that.
So Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe Cleveland was a bad example for the opposite, huh? And you might ask, like, a very normal question would be, wait a second, how did we get this wrong by threefold? How do we mess this up where we have this gigantic killer of infants and we don't know about it? And the fact of the matter was, most of the deaths in this study happen outside of hospital situations. They happen in the normal community life. They end up passing in their home or home of other family members, which is why they're so dramatically undercounted. This is different. This study actually went and they looked at all infants that died at any given time and gave them PCR nose swabs to figure out if they had this virus. Very, very neat in terms of research design, finding a way around to kind of, if you're saying, hey, look, I think the numbers are wrong because of X, how do you find the way around X? And they did a really good job of that here, especially with their massive sampling size. They got like 80 some odd percent of all of the dead infants were sampled. That's huge. That's basically a one-to-one match from your N number to your population in general, in terms of like statistics. Probabilities. So it directly caused about 3% of all infant deaths and about 5% of them outside the hospital. Remember, I said there's a lot of confounding factors in the other ones as well. So they spent 2 years looking at, like I said, almost every single dead infant in one of the country's busiest areas and doing PCR tests and nasal swabs on them. So this is a ton of field work, not to mention a great research design, put into practice to be able to show something really important. And why is it really important? Well, because now that we know that, we now have a target that if we hit it right, would literally stop 10% of infant deaths in a country. That is gigantic. And if you're talking about more than this country and you can extrapolate it to further, you're talking about millions of lives, of children's lives saved in a very short time if we can target this one virus. Knowing that allows us to make it a priority and make distribution and everything else a priority. Now, there isn't currently a vaccine for RSV, unfortunately, but there are some in the works. And now that we know how important it is, maybe those things get fast-tracked, and maybe our distribution network that we have out from COVID now gets fast-tracked to get that stuff out to people as well. Either way, these type of discoveries are huge because they point to a way that literally just knowledge, knowing what is killing these people, can save them. Simply by being able to know what is killing 10% of infants in this one place, we might be able to save millions of infants worldwide.
With mRNA vaccines, though, isn't it just a matter of money and time to...
Yeah, likely. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I have a very cursory understanding of the technology, but I believe, barring some kind of weird speed bump in any particular virus, I believe it should be pretty quick, and it will be. That will be kind of something that we see in the future. And much like what we just talked about a few weeks ago, which I thought was a huge story, the whole Epstein-Barr virus basically causing almost all cases of MS that we reported on a few weeks ago, or, you know, something that was maybe a couple decades before that, but just as important, learning that HPV was the cause of almost all cervical cancer. Discovering the causes of human maladies is the only real way to stop them. Now, we're not done yet, but at least we're properly on the way. And this is really, really neat. I can't wait to see this like come to fruition when we can literally see the numbers of dead infants going down in the years to come based on this knowledge and then vaccine or prevention or whatever distribution that occurs afterwards.
Yeah, it was good. I was worried, though, that this was just like, hey, guess what? This was just going to be a horrible story where we just found out that, hey, there's way more dead babies than we thought they were. Like, great.
Yeah.
This is great comedy. All right, cool. But no, there's a little bit of hope at the end.
Maybe there'll be more? All right, on to article number two. Regrowing limbs.
Is there also an outbreak of children who have lost limbs? Who, actually, this is Africa. I just assume there's some atrocity that has happened somewhere.
Yes, true, true. So this is an interesting article about inducing limb regeneration in animals otherwise unable to do so, which I have always been very interested in. I'm always interested in why we can't regrow a limb. Like, if you think about it, our body has the code for how to make our entire body. Why is it that if we lose part of our body, that part doesn't grow back? And, like, why can my skin regrow itself over my arm? Or, like, if I get a chunk out of it, how come that can heal itself? But, like, you know, if you lose the tip of your finger, it won't just grow back. Why doesn't it grow back? And why are we limited? Whereas other things might have the ability to regenerate certain parts of their body.
Maybe it was because in history, the guy who had his arm removed in battle actually was like, he wasn't going to battle as much anymore. Also, he looked pretty badass and like a survivor in a society, so he got to breed more. You've also suggested on this show that perhaps if you did have the ability to regrow nerves and stuff, maybe that would lead to other things. Maybe you'd be more susceptible to Parkinson's or
cancers.
Other thing.
Yeah, yeah. Or multiple man syndrome, where you might accidentally grow a whole nother person that's an exact copy of you, like almost instantaneously.
And then, which that situation always ends with your wife having a sword or axe or pitchfork at both of you and has to decide which one is the real you. She always decides wrong.
So this is really interesting because, like, basically the only vertebrates that can really regrow limbs like that are, like, salamanders. Salamanders can kind of regrow a limb, but basically everything else they can't. Lizards can regrow a tail, but if you chop off their leg, they're fuck out of luck. And some things can regrow, like, a toe or something like that, but, like, a whole limb, that's really, like, salamanders. And then, like, non-vertebrates, like cephalopods and shit like that, they can do that kind of stuff, but, like, really, when you get into vertebrates, we can't. And so there has been this, like, team that has been trying really hard to figure out how to do this. It is really interesting. So they're like, well, first we have to, like, you know, give a bunch of different drugs that would tell the body not to make scar tissue and to keep growing and to grow nerves and how to form and stuff like that. But then also, like, the problem is it's exposed to air or whatever. We need to, like, put a cap on it, and that cap will secure it, and it can do some other stuff while it's on there, and it will basically keep it's a integral part of the whole thing. Do you know what they named, Damien, this cap that is the cornerstone of the limb regeneration process that this guy is developing?
Condom, but like an acronym, contained. Yeah, I'll get back to the drawing board on that.
Okay, yeah. Well, acronyms are not your strong suit.
It's human growth hormone.
The name of this is Biodome.
No fucking way, Polly.
Yes, yes. And unlike Stephen Baldwin, this Biodome won't let you down or preach an insane version of evangelicalism.
Buddy.
So, what do? They put this Biodome on. And it's not on a person, by the way. This is the first attempt is going to be on a frog, because frogs at a younger stage can kind of regrow stuff. Adult frogs definitely can't, and certainly not a full limb. So they take this frog and they chop off his leg and they put on the Biodome. And the first time, they just try and do progesterone, which is to kind of like stimulate growth. And it does, but it doesn't grow into a limb. It grows into a spike. And like, when I heard that, when I read that, I had to reread it three times. There was no more info on it. I had to reread it three times, and I was like, "What? Is anyone else imagining the frog version of that fat dude from the movie 300?
Yeah, I was wondering, is it just a bone blade, a bone spear?
That's what I have to imagine.
Because if it was metal, that'd be pretty dope. You're saying I could have a blade grow out of my arm?
So then they went back to the fucking freak show drawing board they had there, and they're like, all right, what are we gonna do? Okay, progesterone works, but we need more. And they finally, like, settled on a bunch, and they ended up doing like five separate drugs, one that tamped down inflation, one that inhibited the production of collagen, which is part of scarring, one that encouraged growth of nerve fibers, blood vessels, and muscle. They used a bunch of different drugs with their Biodome, and
the spike became a dick.
And they were actually able to regrow the full limb on this frog with skin and bone and muscle and nerves that sense pain and blood and fucking everything. And it could even use it to go swimming. Like, it was actually a functional limb. This is goddamn fucking crazy.
I'm just imagining when this technology becomes available, how it will still not be available at the VA.
Through licensing restrictions, you actually have to get Pauly Shore's permission to get this treatment.
I don't know. Are you willing to buy a year pass to the Comedy Store, buddy?
Oh, dear. Now, the question is, obviously, will this work with mammals, with us? And we don't know. But mammals are next on the testing block. There's enough of a difference between amphibian cell regrowth and mammal cell regrowth that it may be actually impossible, at least to do it this way, and it may not work at all. But also, it may be possible, and it may work, and that would be amazing.
Like, what are the limits of, let's just say, a salamander? Let's just say I chopped a salamander in half. assuming the bottom portion dies.
They both die if you chop it in half. It can take like a limb. If you're talking about like, can you chop something in half? You have to get to like flatworm territory. With flatworms, you can cut it up into a bunch of different pieces, and then they'll eventually be a bunch of different flatworms.
Well, I mean, but with a human, we could, okay, for example, like let's just say I was a paraplegic. Hypothetically,
yes.
I was born a paraplegic, been paraplegic my whole life. If you were to, and you know, I'm sure surgically you could remove a lot of that. Could you regrow it? I don't know. Hypothetically, Bobby, could you regrow the bottom half of somebody's body, a functional version?
I think you would be better just regrowing the whole body and doing the brain transplant deal.
The Walt Disney thing. All right, you freeze, they cut off the head, freeze it.
Yes. And then sympathize with Nazis.
He was edgy. He was the Joe Rogan of his time.
Oh, thank you, audience, for coming back to Science Faction 599, where you learned all about RSV, the secret baby assassin, and how we might soon be regrowing limbs. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 600!
Oh! That fall was so bad! I landed on my throwing stars and traveling fork! It's a fire ants! Oh, I deserve every second of this.
You've been listening to Science Function. Wait, that's not right.